رب المغربين فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان فبأي يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان وله كالأعلام فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صلي وسلم وزد وبارك على رسول الله وآله الأطهار على رسول الله وآله الأطهار صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Our program for tonight is that I will make a brief introduction of Maulana Sahib, who I think you already have begun to know very well. And then Maulana Sahib will speak on this subject for about 25 minutes to half an hour. It will take us to about 11:15, at which time there is a short break for people to go and get their cars back from Rugby. Whoever is parked in Rugby must bring their cars into the center because they will be shutting the Rugby car park, and then inshallah around 11:45 we will finish the program. Without further ado then, for those who do not know Maulana Sahib, Maulana Sayyid Ali Murtaza Zaidi Sahib is extremely active, influential member of the Shia community in Pakistan. And he has delivered many inspiring lectures both in Pakistan itself as well as across the world. Sayyid is highly knowledgeable, Islamic scholar, a philosopher, and especially a political analyst. Maulana has embarked on a project at the moment called Mahdiya City in Pakistan, where he's supervising a project to create a Shia community area, providing education, healthcare, and religious service to that community. That project has an emphasis on making this city eco-friendly with project-based and agricultural farms and an environmentally friendly transport system to be included. Other projects Maulana has been involved in is building a hospital, setting up microfinance systems in Pakistan, and setting up a school. We wish Maulana Sahib well and good success in these noble endeavors, inshallah wa ta'ala. We're truly honored and thankful that he has accepted our invitation to deliver majlis here in Stanmore in the Ashr-e Muharram. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase in your tawfiqat, Maulana, and in your ma'rifah to continue serving Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Now, without further ado, please welcome Maulana Sahib with the salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ajil faraj. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil anbiya ibn mursaleen. Habibi ilahi alamin abil qasim Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين صلوا على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Alhamdulillah, first of all, I would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this opportunity to be here. And I thank Brother Abbas to be with me in the good support. And thanking the organizers for this program. Actually, this program is a type of brainstorming regarding our responsibilities as individual and a part of community. And we'll try to have a roadmap, a type of roadmap, what a person should do and what a community should do. As per the instructions of our religion, Islam. So, if you just look at the topic, we are focusing on responsibilities, responsibility of an individual and responsibility of a community. So, we have two aspects to deal, and I think as I have 20-25 minutes to speak, so I will speak a bit quicker. I have a few points to deliver. I think that this type of topic assumes a few assumptions and takes it as granted. First of all, that you have a free will, you are not forced to do anything. You have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a free person. You can do everything. And then, though you are created free, but you have a few objectives to achieve. You are not created aimlessly, you say, without any objective. So you have a responsibility to fulfill. And third one, is you have two aspects of your life. First one is your individual life, and the other one is your communal life, community, life in community. And both of them interact with each other, and they influence each other. So if you are living in a community which is not good, and the otherwise, it reacts. And so you have to work on both of them, on your own self, and on the community where you are living. And sometimes I feel that a system sometimes works good, but it could not achieve, it may not achieve their objective. Just take an example of a school. For example, a school is running, there are teachers, there are classrooms, and everything is good, but there is no real education in the school. So sometimes it happens that you are working on idea, you are working very well, apparently everything intact, but unfortunately you are not getting the results. So there is a time for everyone to just review its role, and the role which they are going to have, and how it should happen. So this type of gathering is a review of our responsibility and a review of how we are interacting, and should it lead to the objective or not. So I will start with the main objective. What is the objective in Islam? A general objective, every individual, every community should work on it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sometimes one may ask us that what is the objective in between these two, even? Individual is the objective, or society is the objective of Islam? Either Islam working on a person to be developed or working on a community or on society to be developed. So we can say there are different views, and a few of those views may look very strange. Even from Allama Tabatabai, there's a view that he believes that even society has a separate existence other than the existence of individual. It's a very strange view. But as far as our understanding, the main objective is person. Main objective is to develop a person, and society should serve that person. Now, what is the link between these two? I will explain after the explanation regarding the objective. So, if you ask me, which one is main target, society or the person? I will say a person. He is the main target. But society will pave the way for a person to be developed for the objective. What is the objective? You have been created with a lot of potentials. You have been created in a sense, just take it very light, don't go anywhere. You are created in a sense to become just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have been given this chance. Abdi athaini aj'aluka misli. O my servant, obey me, follow me, and I will make you like myself. This is a hadith Qudsi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a task, a very big task. Move ahead, develop yourself, and there is no limit for you to reach. So Allah Himself is the limit. You can go and you can develop yourself. So we have an objective, and how you can achieve this objective? Where is this potential? This potential is surely not in your body, which is going to die after some years. This potential lies in your spirit or soul, or whatever term you use according to different sciences which we have in Islam. So this non-material existence, non-material part of your existence, it carries all the potentials, and it can be developed up to the level of that limit I told you, up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the real game. And for the life in this world, it is one of the stages of your existence. As I just mentioned in Urdu, Majlis in Urdu, that we are not created to die. We are created to live forever. And we are going to die in this world only. Then we'll change our world. We'll go to another world. So you live forever. And you have this chance to develop yourself. And this is your objective. Prime objective is to develop yourself in every stage of life which you are going to have. And for this phase of life, you have a certain task to fulfill, improve yourself, and go ahead with the next level, and then another level, and more you can develop, more easier will be your path to eternity. What is the objective of society? So this is the objective for an individual person to develop. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Very simple. After a brilliant explanation and mentioning everything from skies to heavens and earth and everything, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, after 11 of them, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. I think this ayah explains everything. This ayah explains everything. Tazkiyatu nafs explains everything. You work more on it, and then you have your roadmap for your individual life where you have to lead yourself. Now, what is the objective of society? And what role society will play for this objective, this individual objective? As far as an individual, you have to develop yourself. Tazkiyatu nafs. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. What society is going to give you? For society, we have a single line, a society with justice. This is the prime objective of a society. What is the interaction between this society which has justice with this objective of developing yourself? The more your society works in the limits of justice, it will be easier for you who is living in this society to develop yourself. And more injustice in the society, it will be a hurdle for you to develop yourself. So, for example, Imam Hussain saw that his society is moving towards injustice. The ruler is working on injustice and everything is going to ruin. And Imam knows that in such a society, very few person very few will be able to develop themselves. So he fought and he sacrificed his all life and belongings. So for the society, you have to develop a society where justice will be prevailing. And fortunately, we know that this is the objective of reappearance of our Imam al-Asr alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The same thing repeatedly told by Imam Athar alayhi salam. There is a narration which is narrated through Imam Ali alayhi salam and then again through Sayyidu Shuhada alayhi salatu wasalam. Three sentences. Why Imam doing what he had done? He said, "Lenuri al ma'alima min dinik, wa ya'man al mazlumuna min ibadik, wa nuzhir al islah fi biladik." We want to show the signs of your religion, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did whatever we did. We sacrificed, we fought, and we did "Lenuri al ma'alima min dinik." We want to show the signs of your religion. وَيَعْمَنَ الْمَزْلُومُونَ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ So your oppressed people could have security. وَالْنُزْهِرَ الْإِزْلَاحِ فِي بِلَادِكَ And we want to show correction, we want to show development in your cities. So this is the objective for a society. And now with this objective for individual, تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ developing themselves, and this objective for the society, a society with prevailing justice, and a society justice in every aspect of life. You know, I'm not talking just justice about reward and punishment. I'm talking about justice in distribution, justice in production also, justice in opportunities, justice in every aspect of life. Otherwise, it cannot prevail. It will be destroyed again. So if you work on just one type of justice and you don't work on opportunities and don't work on distribution and production, then again there is no use. So justice in every aspect of life is the objective of community and society, and tazkiyatun nafs, your own development, spiritual development, is the objective as you being individual. Now I want to give a few points, just working very quickly because very few minutes left. I want to give a few points if you want to work on yourself, to develop yourself, tazkiyatun nafs, and if you want to have your community working on justice, a few practical points inshallah. And the overall term for all of them, tazkiyatun nafs and justice, is ubudiyya. That is to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wama khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. And we not created humans and jinn, but for them to follow us, to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is different from ibadah. We don't say ibadah, we say ubudiyya. Ibadah may be a physical practice, but ubudiyya is obedience, is surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you can achieve this? Individual one, tazkiyatun nafs, and justice in society. How it can happen? A few points to work on. Again, please sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farin. Ubudiyya in general, in a general term, is the key note, and if you work on ubudiyya, it's enough. But just to give some details regarding this ubudiyya or tazkiyatun nafs, number one is your spiritual development. Spiritual development through prayers, spiritual development through, for example, du'as, but more important, spiritual development through your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we pray, sometimes we offer du'as, sometimes we do this ibadah or that ibadah without having any link in ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes without anything, you're just sitting somewhere, all of a sudden you got a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Though it is compulsory, wajib for everyone to pray, and it is mustahab for everyone to do ibadat and dua, but I think awjabul wajibat is this link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the link by your existence, by your spiritual existence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, just if someone wants me to give a practical point. Be in a place which is isolated somehow. It can be your blanket. Just take the blanket, you are isolated. and think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just start talking to Him in your own language. Talk to Him. You are speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your connection, a very simple connection. Why you are taking Him as unseen or not present there? Take Him as present and talk to Him. This is very simple. You talk to everyone. Why don't you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْبَرِيدِ. I think this is a very good starting point. And if you prefer to be in a sajda, then go in a sajda. We should block your vision, you see your sight from everything else. You can concentrate more and just talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 2 minutes, 1 minute, whatever you want to talk and whatever you want to say. It's a practical point. Whatever you want to say. Someone asked me in the beginning what we should say. And after some time, they have a lot of things to say. But in the starting, they ask me what we should say. Sometime I suggest that tell him the same. That, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I speak to everyone and I know what to say. And why, when I want to speak to you, I don't know what to say. I'm unfortunate that I don't know how to speak with you. So first thing first, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Open yourself in front of Him. Accept your whatever problem you have. Your efficiencies or inefficiencies, your good deeds or bad deeds. Just talk to Him. So this can give you a very good link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then second point is try different methods. Sometimes we follow a prayer, for example, Dua'ul Ahad. We take Dua'ul Ahad, but after a few months, it becomes a routine for us. And may you remember, first time when you prayed Dua'ul Ahad, it was effective for you. But after 4 or 5 months or a few years, no, it's not effective. It's a routine for you. So try to change something. I'm not saying leaving Dua'ul Ahad. Keep praying, but add something else. So it could give you a different taste in your relationship, in your link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then regarding sins, everyone has a patch in his life or her life when they are sinking below and they are drowning, feel themselves drowning, they are going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First point, don't give up. Don't give up. Because wherever you have gone, even then you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't give up. So sometime it can happen, you miss your Fajr prayer and you wake up and you are ashamed and you say, I don't want to recite any dua now because I somehow miss my Fajr prayer. Don't give up. This day you should work harder. Don't leave your routine. So if you were, for example, reciting Dua'ul Ahad after Fajr prayer and you miss Fajr prayer, na'uzu billah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'uzu billah, then again find some time for Dua'ul Ahad. And the shame is good. Shame, someone can feel it, I did something wrong. This is good. Don't give up, just don't give up. Because whatever you are striving, how much you are striving in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu, He likes it. And your, for example, your enthusiasm in this field, and your feeling that I should do something, this is good for you, for your spirit. So work harder on the day when you miss something. Don't feel ashamed so much so that you leave everything else. Work on that day especially. A third thing is, get in touch with people who are better than you in spirituality. This is one of the very good point. I'm on a level of spirituality and I know my problems. And now I know a few people who are better than me in spirituality. Find time. Get in touch with them. If you be with them, may this lift you from your current position. So in case of spirituality, always look towards those who are better than you. And in case of material world and the dunya, then look those who are below you. It's a tradition narration by Ayyamathar alayhi wasalam, that in case of spirituality, look at those who are better than you. And in case of dunya, look at those who are below you. It will give you courage to come forward and work. And finally, knowledge. No one can develop without having knowledge. Ilm. You need ilm. So a practical point, just try to read one page of religion every day in 24 hours. A single page of religion, deen, from a good source, try to read a single page per day. And that much, even that much, if a single page, will help you. And it's very good if that page had a few traditions of Aimul Athar alayhi salam, a few traditions, even two, three is good. So you may take Nahjul Balagha a day in a week for Nahjul Balagha, a single page of Nahjul Balagha, four or five tradition, it will give you enlightenment, it will give you a help in your spirituality and morality. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farad. Now finally, in case of community, how community should be developed? You know, we have to strive for something. We are not fortunate enough to get everything prepared and ready. So you are living in a society which has to be worked on, and sometimes you feel that I cannot work anything here, I cannot develop it, or there will be no use for me wasting my time. But how and where you should work and how it can happen? In my opinion, as far as I see, just giving you an example, very quick example, if you want to destroy a whole country, where you should start your work from? In my opinion, you should work on teachers of that society, those teachers who are teaching kids at their primary level. So if you could destroy the mind of those teachers, those who are teaching at the primary level, the kids, then there is nothing left for this society. Now if you want to work on a society, where you should work on? You should work on the teachers who are teaching at primary level. Because at that time, and what is the point? The point is in values. Values of a society decides where this society will be led to. So if they have right values, they will reach their point, their destiny. But unfortunately, if they have wrong values, these values will destroy this society. For example, Islam has three values for respect: ilm, taqwa, and jihad fi sabilillah. As far as I could understand, ilm and taqwa and jihad fi sabilillah. If you could put these three values in your society, in the system which you are living in, and especially if these three could become the criteria for respect, then I think this society will develop. But unfortunately, if the criteria of respect was not these three, then whatever you bring in, it will destroy. And it has a chain of analysis how it will happen, and how many examples we have in this society which we are living in. But I can explain, and it has been explained in social sciences, how it works. So first thing for society is positive change in values. And what positive change in values you should bring in? I told you, if you see any other value is a source of respect, then you may fight and you may try to change that. For example, as I mentioned, explained in Urdu Majalis, if the criteria for respect and privilege in a society is wealth, fame and power, then there is no way this society could get justice. It will always be end up with injustice. Because of the reasons, because of the human wish to have respect, and this wealth, fame and power is not in abundance for everyone. So if someone has power, someone has to lose power. And if someone has wealth, then someone has to lose wealth. And this is the case with fame. So you have asked people to get respect through these three, and these three are limited. So they will fight for each other. And they will end up with wars. They will end up with disturbance and disorder. But if you come forward and bring three other criteria of respect, that is given by Islam, ilm, taqwa, and jihad fi sabilillah. And jihad is striving in the way of Allah, not just by sword or weapon. It is in abundance. And the beauty is, the more you deliver knowledge, ilm, the more you get knowledge. The more you give taqwa, more you get taqwa. And more you strive in front of Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more you are elevated and more people coming forward and becoming part of Islam. So these three values can bring the change. But those three values will absolutely destroy the society. And unfortunately, what I'm looking, what you can notice very easily, that in our society, even in our religious communities, unfortunately, we could not set the right values at the right place. And because of that, we are losing grounds. We are losing it. And though we have achievements, not losing absolutely, we have achievements, alhamdulillah, if you compare with 30 years back or more than that, but we need to do more to be part of this great movement of, inshallah, Imam al-Asr alayhi salam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. One more time, please. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Just 2 points, two or three points more. Second thing is rights of fellow being. You want to develop a society? Pay attention on the rights. If you deliver rights of everyone, your society will slowly and gradually go towards justice. Now, what is the working point? What is the practical point for you? Just if you could do that, prepare a list of those who have rights in front of you. Your parents, your neighbors, for example, your friends, for example, your relatives or your teachers and this and that. Just prepare a list and ask yourself, am I delivering their rights, what they deserve? Am I delivering them? And another key point, don't accept excuses. Accept solid proofs for exception, but don't accept excuses. Because your nafs will prepare excuses. I'm not giving my parents what they deserve because of this thing. Don't accept excuses. There should be a solid proof why you are not giving it. Because this proof is the only defense when Allah will ask you about these rights. It should be very solid. So if it is not solid, if it is not acceptable, do not accept it. And do whatever you can for the rights to be delivered. And focus on your unrewarded activities. Whatever you are doing for others. A few of them are being rewarded. For example, I'm delivering this lecture. Am I being rewarded or not? Yes, I'm rewarded. Because you are showing a sort of respect for me. So this is rewarded, already rewarded. This is not my activity which I should look on. My activity should be the one where I am not rewarded. If I do that, this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can bring change in the society. People doing a few things which they were never been rewarded. And they were looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that type of thing can change the society. A point is here, your society is not good. So be the island of purity in your society. If your society is good and you are living in a very good society, you are fortunate. But if you are living in a society which is not acceptable, is not good, then be the island of purity. So you will create an island, and a few people, if you are strong enough, will anchor with you, and you can develop a wonderful place for others to anchor. So be strong. Be strong. Don't compromise easily. And have a proof in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your compromises. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali. Please announce it.
You don't need to leave, sorry, at 11:15. We seem to have room in the car park, the cars to be there till 11:45. But at 11:45 exactly, whoever's got the car must remove it. So if you are leaving in the middle of this marvelous exposition, you don't need to. Please.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad. And of course, if you wanted to leave for any other reason, then you can leave. Third one is your awareness. If you are living in a society and you want to develop a society, cannot be done without awareness. You should have awareness. You should, as I said, in the case of your individual development, you should have knowledge. Knowledge regarding Islam, knowledge about the guidance given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you are working on a society, you should have knowledge about global Islamic perspective, about global Shia perspective. And for knowledge, I will say, choose an alternate media. Because current media, with the media working now, is prevailing now, dominant now, I don't think they will give you the proper awareness of what's happening. So you may have alternate medias in your approach and consult them. I'm not telling that these are the best ones. For example, Press TV, it's not the best one, but at least an alternate media. Okay, so with having alternate media in your hand, you can compare them and compare right and wrong and see what is right and what is wrong. I do quote it in my political analysis that there is no white in politics and there is no black in politics. It is always gray. It is always gray. And this is your job to separate right, that is white, and wrong, that is black, from each other. This is your job. So media will never give you right or black or white. It will always give you gray. It should be your sharpness to separate white and black. So have an alternate media in your reach and work on it. And then try to analyze by your own self. Don't accept analysis, their analysis. Get their news, get their facts, get what happened, then why happened. Your mind should own. It should be by your own mind. Because this is where they play with us. This is where they took us to somewhere else and they try to take us somewhere else. So don't accept their analysis. Analysis should be from your own self. And you can pick facts and figures and you can pick events from other medias. And I just pointed them very quickly. A few things. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa ajil. No community can survive if they are working on justice without being connected to other societies, those who are working on justice. So those societies should be connected. Those communities should be connected. No community can survive without having connection with others. So you cannot work on your own self. This is one of the misleading principles given by those who are working on justice, that look at your own self. No, this is not good. They started the whole region of Middle East with this concept. Look at your own self. So they asked Arabs to look at their own self, Turks to look at their own selves, then they created countries, and every country should care about his own self. And then within the country, the communities, and within communities, further divisions, and they are asking everyone to take care of their own self. This is not good. Islam never teaches us to be limited to our own self. You should come forward for others, and should work for others. Kuntum khayru ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of the nations created for human being. Not for your community. So work on the whole concept of humanity, though it may start from your community, though you may start providing services to your community, but your eyes and your sight should be the whole humanity. I don't think our Imam will come and work on Shias only. And he will work on, for example, na'uzu billahi ta'ala, on Arabs only. No, it should be for humanity. So just as a student of religion, if someone dying in Latin America, for example, due to oppression, and you don't feel any feeling, I can say that I'm sick. I need to be treated. Why I'm not feeling the pain? if there is a zulm in society, even that society was thousands of kilometers far from me, I had no connection with that society. I said Brazil, for example, Chile, for example, or Argentine, or the take away African communities, or then Asian communities. Why not feeling pain? You're a human being. And Amir al-Mumneen explained to us that you should feel pain. كُنَا لِلْذَّارِمِ خَصْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ عَوْنًا. This is the slogan from Amir al-Mumneen alayhi salam. So every community should get connected with other communities. They should feel the pain, they should work for each other, and just no such barrier should be accepted. Otherwise, for organization, you can have it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. For identity, these شُعُوب وَقَبَائِل, tribes and groups, are good for identity, but they are not good for respect. They are not good for your criteria of working. So, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. You have a humanity in front of you. And finally, just to end it, though after 5 minutes, that my brothers and sisters, I can tell you, you are in the golden time of our history, of the Islamic concept. It is now more than 1400 years that our Imam sacrificed his life. And it is now more than 1400 years that mother of all Aimmah sacrificed her life. But we never saw such a time in the whole 1400 years. This time is the golden time. We never had such a power in the hand, pure power, not for their world, not for their desires, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never had that power. Shia, followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, never had that strength in themselves in the 1400 years, last 1400 years. So this is your time. The generation which is coming, they are blessed. They have been given a wonderful opportunity, never been given in the whole history. So just give your everything and you can see the change. We cannot claim how far or how close we are from our Imam alayhi salam. But everyone, every Arif I meet, every scholar of that caliber I meet, they point that it should be very close. It should be very close. And as per my little information or knowledge, I can say that if I live my life and I was not granted Shahada in early times, if I live my life, I think I can't see my Imam, inshallah. This is my belief. I do think it. And this is how I could understand for during last 25, 30 years while I was working on this topic. So you are very blessed. Alhamdulillah, you have opportunities in front of you. And everything giving you strength and everything giving you courage to come forward and work. We are getting results for the first time in the whole history. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Ahsan Mawlana Sahib, for that very, very inspirational and thought-provoking preamble. Some of these questions that I have on the screen here, on the phone, and on this you have answered already. So there is one or two questions that have not been answered, but before we go to those questions, is there anything that anybody in the audience would like to ask? To give you an idea of time, we have about 20 minutes. So please, ask anything relevant to what Maulana is talking about. Yes, Arif.
Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maulana Sahib, you said something very interesting about connecting one society who wants to strive for justice with another society. Living in the West, living in a place where maybe there are many other communities, which we think, what about then connecting oneself with communities or people representatives who are unjust? What is the result on that justice striving community?
Yeah. I think, as I could understand from this question, what if we connect with those society, those who are working on injustice, and if we who are striving for justice, will it be beneficial for us or not? It depends upon your politics, actually. Politics in the good meaning. You see, sometimes politics is having negative bar in values, but good politics, good strategy, it depends upon your strategy. If you are strong enough and you can defend yourself, even when you mix up with those who are working on the opposition or opposing your ideas, if you are strong enough, go and get up and deliver your message. But unfortunately, in most of the cases, it is not at that level. Unfortunately, in the first stage, I would like to see our own community develop, our own community strong enough in their ideology, in their practices, and then work with others, those who are not working on your idea or going opposing your ideas. My point was getting connected with those societies which are working on justice, and they are in few aspects better than us. For example, just to give an example, a party in Lebanon, they had worked and they have developed their youths. How they could develop them? And they are proving themselves best of our community as a whole. How did they do that? The society was not good when they started it. And their conditions, their circumstances were of the worst on the earth when they started. So they should have some experiences. And you have a wonderful experience in Iran going on. They have their own education system. They have their own everything. This is a country. So what they are doing with their education system? And we are hearing that they are improving, altogether changing their education system as per the concepts of Islam and Islamic culture. So what they are doing? How they are developing their own youths? So this is the experience which should be shared. And Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, they are getting fruits and they are getting results. So before going and connecting with other societies which are somehow threatening to us, threatening us, I think we better connect with those who have developed themselves. And okay, at a certain time you need, because of your strategy, because of your planning, because of your, for example, for any weakness or for any obligation which you have accepted to be connected with others. But in this case, you should be clever enough, you should be strong enough. And if I think on it, then there should be a department in our institutes to work on this issue. A department to work on interfaith, for example. A department to work on those communities which are living in our surroundings. How to mix up, how to communicate with them. And without that preparation, I think it's not good to just throw us in the field and see what happens. It can be bad. This is how I think.
Thank you. Thank you, Manasa. Is there any other question? Yes, please, Ali. There are some questions that have come in. I do appreciate that they are not directly linked to our topic at all.
Assalamu alaikum.
And we cannot ask them just now. But inshallah ta'ala, if time allows, I will pass them on to Maulana later on for answer in a different format, in a different place, inshallah.
The ladies would like to answer a question.
Yeah, we'll take that question in just a minute, yeah? There's one question coming now. Yes, Ali.
Asan. Maulana sahab, at the end of your preamble, you said that this is a golden time for Shias and all that. The way I see it, with the limited knowledge I have, the Shias are being oppressed everywhere. They are being killed left, right and center. And I just want to understand your point of view. How do you call this a golden time as opposed to a very difficult time for Shias, the way it is apparent?
Yeah, I accept it. It's a very difficult time. But besides being difficult, it is a golden time. So the difficulties or problems or sacrifices which he mentioned, I'm coming from Karachi. And you know what happened in Karachi for the last 10-20 years. I don't think if you get the numbers of Shuhada, you will find any single day which when we never had any Shaheed. Always had Shaheed every day. So I know the difficulties. I know the problem. The orphans and their widows, I know them. But I know we are getting results. No, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we are getting results. In case of Lebanon, for example, I remember when there was a war, and the war was going on, a journalist of international media was passing through, and they focused on a person, the camera focused on a person. He was an aged person, and they just focused that he had nothing, and I think he was hungry. As the camera focused on him, he said, "Do you want me to beg like a dog in front of you? I'm in need, but I'm not asking you to help me." This is courage. This is courage. This is beautiful. And then after war, there was destruction everywhere. Destruction everywhere. They said, "We are free to live. We are free. Azad. Ahrar." This is good. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Every material loss can be compensated. Every material loss can be compensated. But getting the result, this is important. Now you are in the core of international relations now. The community which you believe in is in the core of international relations now. No power on earth, I can tell you, I'm a student of political sciences, I'm working on it for the last 20 years, no power on earth can defeat you at this point. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And our message is spreading. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Just look at how it has been, how you see the gatherings in Ashura and Arba'een. Could you imagine that 30 years back? Even 20 years back? No, impossible. Alhamdulillah, we are getting drums. Countries after countries accepting this. Name Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Bahrain, even Yemen, countries after countries. All of them accepting it. Yes, they are here. So, where are your enemies now? They are in destruction. They are escaping now. So, Alhamdulillah, we are here. We were in Pakistan, we have been oppressed, and people used to come to us and asking, "What is our future in Pakistan?" I said, "Pakistan is for us. We will stay here. And they will escape. Because we are ready to die. If a nation is ready to die, no one can hurt them. So we will stay." And it's Alhamdulillah, it's proved. Alhamdulillah. Our enemies are destroyed. And they are destroying them by themselves, those who created them. And the strange part, while we were oppressed, we raised our funerals with dignity. And when it comes to them, they're hiding their funerals. They're hiding their dead bodies. They feel ashamed in showing them. Alhamdulillah, this is our success. Alhamdulillah, we fought for the right thing and we felt dignity in being dead. And what they did? They just conspired, they had conspiracies, they got help from the worst parts of the world, and now they are escaping just. They are living everything. So be strong. Alhamdulillah. And look at yourself, Alhamdulillah. You're not in this position, even in this position 30 years back. You look at yourself in UK. So I'm all in this regard, I'm full of optimism. And for last 30 years, while I became a student in 84 and I'm working on it, never I felt that we are retreating. We are, Alhamdulillah, we are progressing. We are advancing. So in case of technologies, in case of development, in case of political strength, in case of strategic depth, always everything is with us. So brother and sister, just look at your potential. Just look at your potential. And I can tell you, if we work in this way, which we are working now, Alhamdulillah, and we, though Pakistanis never did such a great, any that great job as our nations have done, and inshallah we will see that, inshallah, Pakistan is going to work on it. But as the global community of Ahlul Bayt is moving ahead, with this pace, I can assure you, future is nothing but for Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. It is their name. Which will be raised, inshallah. Awesome.
Thank you very much. The ladies had a question.
Assalamu alaikum, Maulana Zaidi.
Alaikum assalam.
Thank you for an excellent talk on building a community for Imam Zaman alayhi salam. My question is that this community is supposed to be based on justice. Yet in our domestic domain, even in these Western countries, we see that at our home front, even amongst the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, women are still being oppressed. Can we ever hope to make a just society if we can't bring justice to our homes? Your thoughts on this, and also how we women can contribute in our capacity as women in bringing that day when Imam Zamana will come closer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is the unfortunate part of our life, that we have not been trained for guiding a community or for guiding a family. Sometimes back I was in a place where someone put me this question. He said, if I give you ocean liner, those with 3,000 passengers or 4,000, will you steer that one without any training? I said, impossible. I will never do this because it is dangerous to put the life of so many people in my hand, which is not trained for this thing. I said, how they are guiding their families? Have they been trained? Who trained them? And the worst part is, sorry to say that, but in case of ocean liner, if someone dies, there is a funeral, and that's it. But if someone dies in a family with this moral death, then there is no funeral. They have to live with their death. They have to die every day. Die every day. Because of this worst captain who is leading the family. And the situation can be reversed. Can be the otherwise too. So why it happened? Why it happens? Because we are not trained for that. Our values were not regularly or properly taught how to behave in a society, how to behave in a community, how to behave in a family. And it is just by chance that a person who is going to marry learn from somewhere how to react. It's just by chance. And so the chances are very low that a family will survive. Chances are very low that the family will remain happy, and the chances are very low the family will attain whatever they are created for. So this is the unfortunate part. We've not been trained for that. Now, if that thing happens, what to do? That thing happens, what to do? First of all, it's very easy in the West especially to break. This is very easy. And though sometimes in Islam also it is accepted to break. But can we have any better alternate? Because we know that who is going to suffer if we break? The children. Of course then. So how we can manage this? Can it be done with patience? Can it be done with understanding? And can it be done before marriage with a good criteria of selection? Unfortunately, at that time, we ignore a lot of things. When we got in the trouble, then we don't have any solution. So in my opinion, whatever has been done, it's not good, it is unfortunate, but just to give it a break, a proper educational system for those who are getting married, not just in terms of how they lead their home, but how to lead their family. How to lead their family. How they can inculcate the values of Islam in their society, in their family. This is important. And then patience, and then understanding. One thing I would like to say for parents, I know the question is not including the children or the issue of children, but in case of children too, I would like to suggest something. Just talk to each other. This is getting a problem. How many parents are talking with their kids? studying somewhere that someone I can't remember their specialization, but they were suggesting that every kid need a gentle touch of his her parents 8 times a day, a gentle touch on the hair, on the shoulder, on the body, a gentle touch. Now, are our children getting this touch 8 times a day? I really doubt. So, what we are doing, we are leaving a vacuum of emotion in our children. And the same thing is happening with the family, with the vacuum of emotion, because everyone is busy in his own life, everyone is working on his own priorities. So this is the problem. So I think we need to communicate, we need to accept. Now, in case of patients, there's a helping rule: lower your expectations, you will have more patience. More you have expectations, less likely you will have patience. So lower your expectations. I'm not saying lower your love and affection, but lower your expectations. So it can give you more patience and you can work everywhere, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
I think that we should now go to the question that were given beforehand, because people did submit questions. I have looked at them actually. Several of them Maulana Sahib has already discussed. One or two are not exactly linked. They are on fiqh issues, or a couple of them are on details of Karbala.
Yeah.
And I don't think that quite fits the remit today. There's one question here that perhaps we can end on, inshallah ta'ala, as the last question in the allocated time. And that is, how important is it for individual Muslims to be involved in the political process in this country or similar Western countries?
Yeah. As the brother, I think, mentioned, that there is an issue that if should we involve in the local politics, or should we leave this for others to be involved, and we just look at them what happens. I think it depends upon how strong you are when you are playing with your cards. The same thing happened in Pakistan. Sheikh Hamid living in Pakistan, they are not in a big number. There are not more than 15 to 17%. But this 16 to 17% is a good number. It's a good minority, if you call minority. Then they can have their good cards and they can play with their cards in local politics. Now, it depends upon you, your own strength, your own depth in strategy. First thing first is your strategy. Now, I remember a sentence from a strategist, indirectly one of our teachers in Iran. He used to say that if you are going to fight someone, number one, judge their strategy. Number two, before striking any enemy, strike their strategy. This is the key point. What is your strategy? Before being involved in anything, prepare your strategy, your plan. If you say we are not in 17% or 16%, we are just 1% or 0.5%, even then you should have your strategy. What is your strategy? And it should based on realities, it should based on analysis, it should based on your potential, your strength, your weaknesses. Have you done everything? Have you done anything like this? If you have not done that, then I think you should take a break and work first on this thing. So moving ahead without setting the direction is not getting anything. You can waste your time. So before moving ahead, you have to have your directions. You have to know, realize your potential, your weakness, your strength, everything, and then say what you are going to achieve. So for example, in Pakistan with 16%, I should realize my strength, I should realize my weakness, and then I should realize what possible objectives and I can achieve by indulging into politics, Pakistani politics. And then will come my instrument. What are my instruments? What are my cards, what I said in the first sentence, are my cards. So if you don't prepare this thing and then you want to jump in, it will be a zulm on you and your community, because you will be played with. You will be utilized. Your strength will be utilized for other objectives. So before moving ahead, you should prepare. I'm not telling just to remain observer and to put yourself on faith. No. Be active, but for being active, you should prepare. And we should work on our strategy very well. So I can remember an event when a commander in the time of our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad Imad, Muhammad Adil Farid. A commander, maybe Abu Salma al-Khalal or Abu Muslim al-Khurasani, they send a letter to Imam and ask him to just stand in front of Khulafa. Imam said, who is going to support us? Abu Muslim said, we have 300,000 people waiting for you and we will fight for you. Imam said, no, I can't do this. And he burned the letter in the flame. The person, messenger who brought the message, he said, what is your answer? Imam said, this is my answer, I burned your letter. He said, I can't understand it. Please explain it. Imam just said a share in Arabic. The meaning is, in those times, people used to go to forest to collect woods. And they would have two ropes just lying on earth parallel. And then they will put woods on them. And they will wrap them and they will put them on their back. And just to go back home, Imam said, I will not be the one who collect all the woods and place on the ropes which is being placed by others. And my hard work will be taken away by their ropes. Or I work on a farm which was owned by anyone else, and when I have to pick my crops, there will be another person claiming the land. So I will not work on your ground. I will work on my ground. And what you are asking me to do, to come into your ground and play with you. This is not what I'm going to do. Just to end it on the light mode, I remember in my childhood there was a wrestling between a wrestler, which was Anokhi, and the boxer, which was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, the famous one. So there was a wrestler, and he was champion of this wrestling. Not this mode of wrestling which has been shown now. It was an older time. And then the boxer, Muhammad Ali, he was very famous and was champion at that time. That 14 rounds, I think, 12 or 14 rounds, in each and every one of those rounds, Muhammad Ali used to come in the arena with his boxing style, and the wrestler, Anokhi from Japan, he used to come and he will fly and he will lay down on the arena. He will never get up. He will never stand on his feet. And Muhammad Ali will try his best not to come closer to his legs of Anokhi. Because, you know, the strength Anokhi had was in his lock of his legs. And Anokhi realized that if I stand in front of Muhammad Ali, I will have no chance. A single punch will bring me to the end. Muhammad Ali realized that if I come closer to his legs and if he could grasp my legs, then I will have no chance and I will have to accept. So all 14 rounds he stand and he was lying. They never allowed other one to play with him in his arena. It's a very good political game. It was a very good political game. Don't allow others to take you to their arena. Bring them in your arena. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Thank you very, very much.
Excuse me. I have a quick question. I'm sorry, I'll be very quick. Can I ask?
Yes, it's up to you. You're leading.
We literally have a couple of minutes, so please.
No, I'll be very quick. Yeah. It's for my own incomplete or impaired understanding, and I'm trying to draw lessons from Karbala. There are two versions I hear. So when faced by an oppressor, what did Imam Hussein do? Did he try for the peace right till the end? And when he was left with no option but to take a stand and face the enemy, then he fought, or did he take a stand and he fought and
right from the beginning
openly?
I'll ask Mullah to answer that only if he wants. It's really outside our ambit, yeah. A bit. The reason is already 3 or 4 similar questions on the events of Karbala have been asked and I haven't taken them because of the specific nature of this. But, Maulana,
I will answer very quickly, as she said. Imam had decided to fight. Imam had decided to fight right from the beginning because he knew very well that Misli la yubayu mislahu. From Medina he announced, a person like me will never pay allegiance to a person like him. So if he was Yazid and he is Imam Hussein, son of Fatima and Ali, son of Rasulullah, he's never going to give his hand in his hand. And up to the last moment he said, Inna da'i wa inna da'i ibn da'i qad rakazani bayna snatain as-sillati wa zilla wa hayhat min nazilla. So he started with Misli la yubayu mislahu. He ended with Hayhat min nazilla. So there was no option there for Imam to come in peace with this Yazid, a person like him. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Thank you very much. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I appreciate there will be many more questions for Maulana Sahib. I think that certainly Maulana is not a stranger. He is in London for the next few days, and I'm sure you can grab him every so often for clarification. And I'm sure also the ladies can send by email or inshallah sessions questions to be answered. It remains for me to say to Maulana how immensely grateful we are for that insight. Personally, I felt that there were many things we could learn from your experience, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you tawfiqat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you success in the ventures that you are undertaking at the moment. May Allah give you a long life enough to meet the Imam, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Can we have a ziyarat to end our program, please? Arif Ali, bismillah.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوسين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء سيدة النساء العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليك يا مولى وابن مولى السلام عليك يا غريب الغربة السلام عليك يا شمس الشموس وأنيس النفوس أيها المدفون بأرض توس السلام عليك يا سلطان العرب والعجم علي بن موسى الرضا ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام عليك يا مولانا يا صاحب الأسر والزمان السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن السلام عليك يا قعبة الإيمان السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان أجل الله فرجك وسهل الله مخرجك وزهورك والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كن لوليك صلواتك عليه وعلى في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وقائدا وناصرا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها تويا